Well, I have the privilege to introduce Kay Newton for you today. And it's a blessing that we have her here today because she's had a fair bit of opposition in the last couple of weeks. So I know the message is going to be outstanding and the Lord's really going to use her mightily because she's had to go through quite a few challenges to be in this place today. So I appreciate everybody's prayers as well for the eldership and for the leadership of this church. And please continue to pray, because there is spiritual opposition to the things that we want to do here. So, yeah, I appreciate you continue to do that. And I just want to welcome up Kay.
Good morning. I am going to have to put my glasses on and off, sorry, because I can't see this, but I can see you. I have had quite a bit of opposition over the last couple of weeks, including spending a day at emergency with my mum, a close family member diagnosed with cancer, and a number of other things going on in my life. So this word is this morning is as much for me as it is for you. The Lord's obviously felt I needed a challenge. If there's nothing else you hear this morning, I want you to go away with this. Look up. Look up. If you don't hear anything else this morning, write that down. That is the essence of today's message. That is the importance of today's message, to look up. Last week, one of the things David talked about was seeing and hearing what the scriptures are saying to us, and to stop and take notice of the little things, to allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon us the things that he wants to tell us. How often do we read it? Yep, I've done my bit. Go on with your day. How often do we do that? I do it. We all do it. But sometimes God just wants to stop and look up and take notice. Even in the despite and in the midst of the storms and circumstances of life, the Bible clearly tells us to look to the one who is the maker of heaven and earth, the one who can lift us up out of the miry clay and stand us firmly and steadfast on the rock that is higher than us. Amen? When I started researching the scriptures about how often people in the Word looked up, I was amazed. It sounds like it was an obvious thing, really, but the phrase look up is so common in the Word. The Holy Spirit and God telling people, stop looking down that way and start looking to me. There are many examples in the Word where people looked up, which brought about change in their circumstances. These people either chose to look up or were told to look up by an angel, in a dream, by God. And they saw signs and wonders, miracles, abundance, promises from God, encouragement and help. Each circumstance brought a shift in the atmosphere and encouragement to their heart. So the key is to look up. And then you'll see a shift in the atmosphere. There is no point expecting a shift in the atmosphere if you're continually looking at the stuff that's going wrong, looking at all the things that are pulling you down. I'm just going to give you two examples out of the Word. The first is in Genesis 15, 4 to 5. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be an heir, your heir, but your... Sorry, this is falling off. I'll just fix this. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, Abram had been crying out to God. He was childless, and one of his servants was going to inherit everything that he had, and he was desperate to have an heir to pass that on to. And God gave him this promise, something that he could stand on. And the first thing God asked him to do, look up. Look up. Stop worrying about what's not happening. Stop worrying about what isn't going on and look up. And not only look up, but if you can imagine the geography of where they were at the time, they would have seen billions of stars. Billions of stars. In today's cities, with all the ambient light of buildings and cars and streetlights, sometimes you go out there and it's hard to spot them. This was out where there was no buildings, no city. Can you imagine what he saw when he went out and looked up? And can you imagine that dropping into his heart, that that's how much inheritance there will be, how much heritage there will be? How amazing is that? What a promise. Another one was the Magi. When Jesus was born, they looked up and saw a star in the east, which led them to where Jesus was in the manger. Had they not looked up and seen that star, they never would have found Jesus. I think it's an important point. So I'm going to give you some keys for when you're feeling down and not knowing what to do to look up. So key number one, looking up requires a different focus. Shifting our focus to the eternal perspective and allowing God to work in the situation changes us. Did you hear me? Doesn't change the circumstances. Doesn't change God, because God never changes. It changes us. It shifts something within us. We're no longer the thing that's dragging us down is keeping our attention. It's shifting our focus to the awesome, powerful, amazing God. I love that song we sang this morning, Great Are You, Lord, because it declares his greatness. It declares who he is. And the more we do that, the more we declare who he is, the smaller the things in our life become. That old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim, because the focus is no longer there. The focus is on him. That's when we start seeing God's perspective instead of an earthly perspective. Now, I'm just going to stop there for a minute just to explain. I am extremely nervous this morning. Now, I'm very familiar with being on stage, and that normally doesn't bother me. But I feel this morning this is a word from the Lord. I've never felt so strongly about preaching about today's word. So I really want you to listen and just have your hearts open this morning if you can. And just ask the Lord what it is in your life that he's pinpointing, where you've allowed that focus to be in the wrong place. But it's also a word of encouragement. Whenever the weight of our circumstances start to become too heavy, if we shift our focus and are now looking up, Jesus is there. We see Jesus. The world is constantly trying to suck us under, pull us down. I thought of a number of words just as I was preparing this. Things like downtrodden, disheartened, discouraged, downcast, disillusioned, dysfunctional, and a big one, disabled by fear. Never before have we known such fear as in the middle of a pandemic. Fear on all sides. And the enemy wants to disable us with that fear. Don't allow it to happen. We're also spending more and more time looking down physically. iPhones, tablets, computers, personal circumstances, family issues, work trouble, constantly looking down. It's a physical thing. We're actually looking down. And physios and chiropractors have seen a surge of patients with neck and head and back pain due to people staring down all the time. This is the world we're living in. Everything is focused to draw our attention downwards all the time. God is the opposite. Try and remember, God is the opposite. Look up. It's a natural tendency in our natural realm to do what our bodies are telling us to do and look down. We have to shift our focus. One of the meanings of the word down, I love to find out the meanings of words, is out of action. Out for the count. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us out of action and out for the count. No longer effective. Completely in the corner, flat on your back. Great, don't have to worry about that person for a while. I'll go start working on this person. Out of action. In this digital age, we are supposed to be more connected now than in any other time in history. We now see statistics that people are feeling more isolated, more lonely, more depressed, and the rise in mental illness is staggering. And yet, we're supposed to be more connected. It's an oxymoron, isn't it? Because the enemy knows if he can isolate us off and we just communicate via digital platforms, we're easy to pick off. We're easy to be out of action. We're easy to be out for the count. The word says in Psalm 42:5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." The psalmist is reminding himself that the only way to lift up and out of the feelings is to put his hope in God, encouraging himself in God. This is why I love worship. I was going to speak on worship this morning, but the Lord directed me this way, but I had to get it in, sorry. Worship shifts our focus and puts it where it belongs. Stops looking at us, stops looking at our circumstances, and puts it where it belongs. A lot of worship music has become very self-focused. I'm saved. I'm wonderful. I'm doing this now. Which, in balance, is fine. But the purpose of worship is to put the focus on him. He is wonderful. He saved us. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who does it and is working behind the scenes. All we do is humble ourselves before him and look to him. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Hallelujah. What an amazing scripture. We need to start having a focus on the eternal, on the realm that's beyond this natural realm, because that's where we've been called to live, is in that realm. It's time to shift our focus. The next key is looking up requires different action. Now, I found this funny picture, and I imagined you all putting on a different action to what you've been doing in the past. Sometimes we do the same thing over and over and over, and we are called to pray. I'm not saying don't pray. But sometimes God will ask us to do something different, but we're so busy doing what we've always done, we don't hear it. We don't take notice of it. Looking up and fixing our eyes on Jesus requires action on our part. It won't just happen because we want it to. It requires a change in what we've been doing to bring it about. Maybe you've been praying for something for many years. I know I have. I encourage you to look up and see what God may be telling you. Maybe he requires you to do something different now. And at the beginning of this year, I felt strongly this is a word for us, that as we go into this year, that we learn to fix our eyes and look up to him. Maybe he's telling you to pray a different way, to be thankful for the answers that may come down the road. Maybe he's asking you to change what you pray. Maybe it's like, oh, Lord, please change this person. I'm really struggling. I just don't know how to get on with them. Maybe he's saying, I want to change you. Ugh. That's 99% of the time that is what he's saying, just so you know. It's never about the other person. Maybe he's asking you to be more mindful of what you consume. Media, TV, movies. Be more careful about what you are feasting on a regular basis. I watched a movie recently. I could not believe how the F word has become commonplace. So commonplace. 10 years ago, people didn't speak like that. The world is spiraling out of control. Be careful what you consume. It may also mean you've got to let things go. This is a hard one. Let go of past disappointments. Let go of your preconceived ideas of how you think God should fix the problem. I always have a long list, just so you know. Lord, right, A, B, C. I'm a list person. You may not have guessed that. Sometimes you just got to let go. Say, you know what? I'm going to leave it with you, Lord, and trust you that you know better than I do, because he does, and I'm going to let it go. Maybe it's letting go of hurt and pain from the past where he didn't answer you the way you think he should have, or you didn't get the result that you were praying for so many years. But you need to trust God when you look to him, you look up to him, that his plan is always better than what we think. He sees everything from the beginning to the end. So he knows better than we do, and we need to trust that. It is impossible to see things differently if we continue to hold on to things that keep us trapped. We pray and ask God to change things, but we hold on to the very thing he wants us to get rid of. Joshua 5:13 and 14 says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand." I don't know about you, but I'd be freaked out. Joshua went up to him. Imagine that. You've got this person standing there with their sword drawn and you just wander up to them and say, well, are you for us or are you for the enemy? I mean, who does that? And he answered and said, neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And then Joshua realized who he was. He fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Imagine looking up and seeing what he saw. Sometimes you're going to see things when you look up that you might just go, oh my goodness, what do I do? But God will show you what to do. This interaction with Joshua was the precursor to the walls of Jericho crumbling down. How amazing. He looked up, and not long after, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. We have to put action on our faith and look up. The next key is looking up requires us to know our enemy. The word is clear about who our enemy is and his desire to destroy us. If we don't know and understand our enemy, we cannot fight against him. Any military person, and I'm married to one of them, will tell you that knowing your enemy is pivotal in battle. It arms you with knowledge and understanding, knowing weaknesses and advantage points. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That's his whole purpose. That's why he's there. He's looking for people whom he can devour and put out of action. So you're down for the count. Shore up the shield around you by looking up to Jesus. In recent years, the enemy has manipulated the world to increasingly put the focus on self. We constantly see and hear things that may affect us or damage our sensitive selves. And I've listed off just a few buzzwords that get thrown around. And I will preface this by saying all of these things have their place and are important to us to be healthy. However, it's about balance. Self-esteem, self-image, self-worth, self-acceptance, self-assurance, self-satisfaction, self-comparison, meaning I'm comparing myself to others all the time, self-promotion, self-care, and the most one of all that I hate the most, selfies. Could we possibly come up with any more buzzwords to incorporate me, self, I? The world wants us to focus on us and how we're feeling and how hurt we might be if somebody doesn't put the right emoji in my text message. I've had people say to me, "Oh, they must have been angry because there was no laughing emoji." Pick up the phone and talk to them. You'll then know whether they're angry with you, because they won't answer for a start. We now live in Christ. Keeping our eyes on him ensures that we keep balance and on an even keel. And as I've already said, all of those things, obviously for our natural, physical and mental well-being, are important. But the world has tipped the scales so that self is now the most important thing instead of keeping Jesus the most important thing. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And Romans 8:12-14 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." I think that's pretty clear. Our own fleshly desires that need to be accepted, wanted, needed, loved, all those feelings that come up, they are to be put to death. That's final. Put to death. Not to rise up tomorrow and start the cycle again. Put to death. If we put it to death and say, "I'm not going to pick it up again because that is not who I am. I am who I am in Christ. Not because of what the world tells me. Not because of what my feelings will tell me. Because the heart is deceitful among all things and our feelings will always deceive us. Our feelings will tell us lies. Our feelings will always not tell us the truth. Only God tells us the truth. The next key is looking up requires maintaining momentum. This one's hard. The children of Israel danced and rejoiced when they were freed from slavery in Egypt. But it didn't take long of wandering in the wilderness for them to start whinging, whining, looking back. Oh, it was so much better back there. At least we had food. It was so much better there. At least we had shelter. How fickle we are. They were free. They were no longer in slavery. They were no longer being beaten and tortured. They wanted to go back to that. Come on. Sometimes it can be exhausting to maintain momentum. Tell you what, maintaining this headset is not great either. I mustn't have big enough ears. We can lose focus so easily when we're trying to maintain momentum. I have this little saying that I say to people sometimes, oh look, something shiny. Oh look, something shiny. Because our focus is so easily shifted, which slows down our momentum because we're suddenly not looking at what we should be looking at. So the wheels start slowing down till eventually it will stop. Maintaining momentum has to be one of your main priorities. The Bible says that we're in a race. This means we are made to move. We are made to run. We are made to walk. We are made to continually, perpetually maintain movement. Don't let your circumstances or the enemy stop you in the track. Be determined to move forward. And that takes courage. But again, we are who we are in Christ. We don't suddenly have courage. The Lord strengthens us and gives us courage. David said last Sunday that delay is not denial. I love that. Sometimes God answers our earthly issues and circumstances many, many years, decades or longer down the road. And that can be hard, but maintain momentum. Keep praying for that person. Keep believing for that salvation to come. Keep praying for a change in the circumstances and the strength to go through it with them. Okay? God doesn't always change the circumstance, but he'll change you. Elijah told his servant to go and look towards the sea. I hope you all know the story of Elijah. He told his servant, he'd gone up Mount Carmel to pray, and he told his servant to go and look towards the sea. The servant kept coming back and saying there was nothing there. Because Elijah had told everybody that a heavy rain was about to occur. Now, you'd feel a bit of a dill, wouldn't you? Blue sky. And that's, I guess, what the prophetic is. But I hear the sound of a heavy rain. And they're all like, okay, I see blue sky, but that's all right. So he sent his servant there seven times. Seven times. If that's not keeping momentum, I don't know what is. And finally, a small cloud the size of a man's hand was seen in the distance. So I haven't got a man's hand, but he saw this in the distance. Remember, sometimes God's answers to your prayers might not appear the way you think it's going to. We want thunder and lightning and big, huge changes to occur and this miraculous salvation running to the front and laying before the Lord. It's not always going to happen that way. It can, but it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it's the cloud the size of a man's hand that will bring about a change. Joshua had to walk around Jericho seven times and on the last day an additional seven times. That's 14 times. Can you imagine what they're all saying about Joshua? I don't really know if this guy's hearing from God. I guess we'll keep going. And can you imagine what they're all saying? And yeah, right, this is going to make the walls fall. There would have been people there saying that. Humans. We're dealing with humans. We all assume that they all just, yep, let's go. This is going to be great. No. I can guarantee there was people there that were like, oh, for goodness sake, really? Around again? Nothing happened yesterday. Why would it happen today? 14 times they went around. And we know the story. They came crashing down. What an amazing miracle. But it took Joshua's faith to keep his eyes fixed, looking up, for that to happen. And another example is Joseph sat in prison for 13 years. That's my favourite story in the Bible. I can't imagine what he was doing for 13 years in that cell, continually trusting God that something was going to change. But he was looking up. Maintain your momentum and hold on. God is working behind the scenes. God is doing something, even though you can't see it yet. The next key is looking up requires expectancy. In the story of Elijah, he was expectant. He'd prophesied that a heavy rain was coming, and yet no signs were obvious. Imagine what it was like. They must have all thought he was nuts. And Joshua also had an expectant heart. He knew God would do what he said. Imagine the soldiers marching around the city, doing what they're told, wondering how on earth this was going to happen. Be people of expectancy. Look up with expectancy. No matter what others will think and say to you, and you will always have people around you who go, oh, I don't know. You'll always have that. Look up with expectancy because God is working and he will do something. It may only be the size of a hand, but he'll do it. Isaiah 40, 25 and 26 says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. I read that and I was like, so he knows in the starry heavens if one of them was missing. That's amazing. He knows if one of them's missing. How much more does he care for us if he cares that much about the starry heavens? Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? This is the mighty God that we serve, that we can look up to and pray for help with. He has enormous power. And he not only puts the stars there, he keeps them there, holds them in place. The next key is looking up requires us to live in the spirit realm. Now, this is one of my soapbox parts of being a Christian. I talk to so many Christians who have missed the understanding of living in the spirit realm. They're constantly living in this natural world, being buffeted by everything that comes past. And we're called as Christians to live in the spirit realm. That's where we should be walking and living, so that the things of this earth don't have that effect on us. Because we're not relying on our feelings. We're not relying on what this world's doing. We're trusting God in the spirit realm because he's got this, he's sovereign, and he's in charge of my life. So although I had a rubbish week leading up to this, a couple of months actually, but particularly the last week, God's still in charge. He's still on the throne. That didn't change. But I had to, as I was preparing this message, the Lord kept saying, I've just put a few things there to prove that you've got to do it too. Thanks, God. Yay. By the way, my mum's fine. We're told in Galatians to stay in step with the Spirit, and Devon mentioned it earlier. You can't live in two places at the same time. You're either living in the spirit realm or you're living in the earthly realm. You can't be living in both. It's impossible. As Christians, we need to practice living and walking in that realm. Everything here on earth is constantly trying to pull us back down to this reality, which will always disappoint and always bring discouragement. Living in the spirit realm ensures that we do not put importance on the flesh, which keeps us in balance. Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." In him. Okay? It's not because we've got a good doctor. It's not because we've, you know, got a great diet plan or we exercise at the gym 17 hours a day. It's because of him. We live and move in him. Okay, just to close, Psalm 121 says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And when you put that in perspective, that we have a direct, uninterrupted hotline to the maker of heaven and earth. Just let that sink in for a minute. We have a direct, uninterrupted hotline to the maker of heaven and earth. What? How amazing. He's my father. He's the one who loves me. Let's grab hold of that truth. And when you're in the midst of circumstance, you have a hotline to the maker of heaven and earth. And that is only what we see through telescopes. And beyond that, he's the maker of that. I just want us to take a minute to pray. If the worship team could come up, thanks. The Lord told me this week that there was going to be people in this room today who need to look up. You've had circumstances overwhelm you, and it's drawn your eyes away from Jesus. God is stretching out his hand today and he's saying, look up. I encourage you all to start this year being determined to make this your catch cry throughout 2022. Just as the worship team sing a song and we all stand, if anyone would like some prayer this morning, if you think that this is something that's spoken to you, I'll be happy to pray. The elders will be happy to pray for you. There is at least two people here this morning that need to come out the front. And I'm being really bold now, but the Lord told me to be bold. And Kerry messaged me this morning and said, be bold. So I'm being bold. So I'm just asking that if you feel that you need to have a fresh focus, if you need to regain your momentum and you need to refresh your view of looking up, you need to come out the front this morning. Because God's here. He's got his arms outstretched. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you.